Hello and welcome to a Toy Hall of Fame packed episode of BJ Shea's Board Game Alliance, episode number 112. I am your host, Joey Candy and Beverage Induced Coma D's. That is correct.
Yeah.
And to solve that, I've caffeinated myself with coffee. Across from me, of course, is Josh Utley of the Omega Gamers.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing great, Josh. Sean Epperson of Think 12 Games is with us, of course.
Oh, hey, hey.
With his Stormtrooper hat on, proving once and for all that he is a bad guy and cannot aim.
Yes.
Yep. Very true.
Ficky B is on assignment. She could not handle Sean's terrible firing.
True.
She's like, I'll just dodge it by staying home. Today we're going to talk about the nominees of the Toy Hall of Fame, which, of course, includes many board games. Games played, and of course, a new game by Simon Games. Josh, how can the lovely Geek Nationals get a hold of us if they have questions?
They can go to bjgeeknation.com and you get all the podcast, blogs, interviews, videos, links, and more.
More!
You can also search for us. Just search for BJ Geek Nation on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, and Audacy.com. That's
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey. Yes, of course. Well, as we all do and love, lists. Lists are great because there are many things on them.
Okay, I may have zoned out.
What?
Did you introduce yourself?
Yeah.
Did I miss that?
Yeah, I am Joey. Hold on, because I got it right.
He did.
Take that, Sean.
Yeah, you did.
Candy and beverage-induced coma D's.
I made it easy for him this time.
You really did.
Yay.
So easy that I was just gone. Can I get some of that?
That coffee?
Yes.
And so I'll inject it straight into your veins. Hold on.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ah! All right. We're back.
Woo!
Hey, Josh is energized, and he now knows that my name was correctly pronounced today, which is shocking because
why I missed it. Because yeah. I was
so mean to him last time. That, you know,
yeah, Sean put a different language on there for me. He's like, can you speak Korean? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Let's try. I can't even read Korean, be able to speak it. But anyways, we do have the nominees for the Toy Hall of Fame. And if I had to guess, because we're a board game podcast, that means that despite their games, you know, or toys, I think they're going to go with board games as well. Yes?
A little bit.
Okay.
But this is always a fun topic to see which one of your childhood dreams are going to get crushed.
Yes, crush my childhood dreams. But this means I probably know all of the games on this list. Yes?
You probably do. And some you might not be familiar with.
Ooh, all right. Let's see. Okay, hold on. Games that I played as a kid and broke the table because BJ hated me. Monopoly.
Is Monopoly on this year's list?
Drum roll.
Monopoly is not on this year's list. I think it may have already been inducted.
No, that's probably fair.
I can't remember.
It is a classic, and there are about 4,000 different versions of it.
But this first one will give you an idea of what we're looking at.
Okay, give me a hint. I'm ready.
I'll give you a hint. Yeah. B-24.
Battleship.
B-24.
You sunk it.
No.
All right, dang it. Bingo!
Yay, bingo, yay! You got it. Yeah.
Second try. Nailed it.
Bingo is on this year's list.
You don't sound too enthusiastic about that. It's not a board game, but it does have a board and some pieces.
Do you know what this game came to be known as when played in France and Germany?
Minesweeper.
Lotto.
Lotto?
Which, you know, it's a lottery.
Yeah, you're pulling numbers, little balls, yeah. No. Okay, that makes sense. I can see that.
The next one on this year's list is The Briar Horses.
This, I don't know. Nothing. No idea. What is it, Josh?
It's horses. Toy horses. Just molded plastic toy horses.
Of course. How did I? Oh, yes, I remember. They have that really bad, like, stringy hair on them, right?
Nope. Nope. Completely molded.
Yep.
What happened to my childhood? what happened to me, guys?
You played with your sister's Barbie horses.
Yeah, that's what it was, actually.
My Little Ponies.
I was a big cat guy when I was younger. Panthers, leopards, cheetahs.
Thundercats?
Thundercats.
Yes.
Oh! But never horses. That's probably why I've never heard of these.
There is, however, a very well-known board game on this year's list of nominees.
New or old?
Started it all.
Ah! The easy one. The one which I always get all the sheep. Catan.
Bingo.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wait. Catan and bingo.
Yes. Wow. Twofer right there. No, seriously. I will hoard sheep in that game. Not because I want to, but because for whatever reason, the only little house I have on that stupid little field of sheep, four. And it's just me with all the sheep. And I'm like, you guys want to trade? And they're like, no, your sheep suck. Dang it. I just want some wooden brick, man.
Sounds like well-trained sheep.
Yep.
Sorry. next up, the Light Bright. We all remember the Light Bright.
Ah, we do.
You could sit there with it on your lap, sweating to death from the incandescent light bulb when it was in the 80s.
Yes.
Wondering why you're getting first-degree burns on your legs.
You just like heat. That's why.
Yeah. These days, they do use LED, so much, much better now.
Glad to see we've made progress in the
world. My kids had a little portable one, like literally like pocket size that you could take around and had a little compartment in the bottom with the little, like, I don't know, what do you call them, like the little
Oh, those
pieces.
Were called batteries.
Not batteries. The little color prongs that you put inside so you could actually think.
What I remember the Light Bright, because we had, of course, the plug-in version when I was a kid, was losing all the pieces.
Yes, quickly.
And Mom, I was complaining about something being in the vacuum. I don't understand what her problem was.
I just, it's a mystery. We better get Scooby-Doo on it.
Next one, I'm very familiar with. I'm sure Sean is very familiar
with. Oh, yes.
Joey, I know you're familiar with it, but I don't think it hits the same for you.
Okay, let's see. What is it?
The Masters of the Universe.
Oh, yeah, okay. Doesn't He-Man, hit the same, but yes.
Skeletor. Tila.
Skeletor.
More Skeletor. He is a big topic of memes these days.
Or as your dad would call him, Dr. Smith, because anybody ever uses alliteration, they're stealing it from Dr. Smith.
That's, of course. Exactly. We can't have anything new or nice. It always came from somewhere.
I like teasing your dad. It's fun.
Skeletor is awesome, though. He was one of the best
characters. He's the best. He's so good. Those were a great line of toys. Every character was just, like, ridiculously buff and huge.
The toys roided were out.
Awesome. And
70s, right?
80s.
80s, you know. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But go watch the toys that made us about He-Man on Netflix, because this one will... You will be entertained, maybe even a little sad about how all this...
No.
Like, the way the cartoon came around was a meeting with the toy company and them trying to pitch it and sell it. And they're like, well, do you know? The executives are like, well, maybe if there was, like, a comic book. And they're like, oh, we didn't tell you? Well, of course we made a comic book. And then they went and made a comic book.
Really?
And then another meeting was like, well, it's not really getting a broad reach. Maybe if it had a Saturday morning. What, you don't know about the cartoon? Why are you not getting these memos?
Right.
Essentially. And then they left the meeting like, quick, we got to make a cartoon.
That's amazing. This is a great idea. We should have already done it. Quickly. Yeah. Put it on the channel. The cartoon was great.
Yeah. I mean, you try to watch it now, it's totally horrible. But
well, of course.
The new stuff is
just
awesome,
like everything.
Really
it did not age like a fine wine. Spoiled. But for that nostalgia, they made another one, didn't they?
They made several over the years.
Yeah.
There was an early 2000s Masters of the Universe. There's one on Netflix right now that seems more cartoony, but actually has some tie-ins. Of course, the She-Ra line, and then the Kevin Smith Masters of the Universe, which just watch the whole thing. People don't – stories have plot points along the way. Don't leave.
Really?
Don't leave because something happened you didn't like right in episode one.
So watch the whole thing, you're saying. That
yeah,
shocks
it's a,
me.
It's
a series.
A thing, yeah. You know, give it a let a story resolve. Then you can go ahead and decide if you like it.
Okay. Got it.
Next one you may have heard of. I mean, you guys may have even talked about it. You might have experienced it at Dice Fest, Sean.
Oh, yes.
Nerf.
Yeah. Like guns.
Like Nerf. All Nerf. Nerf balls. Nerf. If it's Nerf, it's...
Yeah, there were balls, there were footballs, there were all kinds
of things. Oh, that's true.
Stuff.
I forgot about those. Yeah. The howlers, the whistlers, whatever those things are.
I don't think there was ever a Nerf football that doesn't have a bite taken out of it.
Right.
I don't think one exists on the planet that isn't like in the
Someone
store.
Someone got curious, you know?
I don't. Why do they all have bites out of them?
Well, it was introduced in the 60s as a foam ball harmless enough to throw indoors.
Harmless?
Not the darts, just the ball. Now, these days, yes, those darts can fly quite quickly.
Well, there's massive ones, too, like big cannons that you can fire off, like the size of a bazooka.
Or the little Nerf, like, ping pong size balls, like the professional Nerf guns. Like, ow!
Yeah, they're like Nerf mini guns now.
Can we go play paintball instead? This hurts too much. Next on the list, a pinata. Pinatas.
Pinatas are cool.
Is that a toy or a party supply?
I thought that was weird that it's in the toy aisle. Like, I don't see a pinata as a toy.
You have to be able to play with something for it to be a toy, don't you? I mean, I guess
the concept
whack
is
it.
That you're playing with it, trying to like smash it open.
Well, they're selling it as the centerpiece of a party game.
Okay, that's interesting. I can see arguments on two sides. The first side being, would you want to whack a pinata if it wasn't full of something?
No.
And the second side being, well, you always fill it with something. So,
and as an adult, you realize you can fill it with whatever the hell you want.
The booze ones are dangerous, man. Those things hurt if they hit you in the face.
Well, if we're seeing pinata on the list this year, I want to see dice on the list next year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very good. That's very good.
Where would we be without dice?
Where would we be without those little clankers you can throw against the wall?
Little clankers. Next time we're playing a game, Joey, here's your little clankers.
Thanks, man. Have you seen the ones that glow? That you can charge now, they like glow in the dark or whatever.
I have several sets of glow in the dark, but what you quickly realize is you don't game in the dark.
Ah,
so they are totally useless for glow in the dark.
That
don't make glow in the dark.
Too
guys.
True. It's like a solar powered flashlight. You just got questions at that point, you know.
Mine are very circuit board inspired, so I just like I'll use them in cyberpunk games. Just.
Oh, nice.
To be on theme, but yeah. We do not turn the lights off.
But I bet you probably have tried once or twice, haven't you? Guys, look! Switch.
We glow them and like, ooh, look, and then we turn the lights back on and play the game.
Yeah.
Because you don't play the game in the dark.
Hey, maybe for Halloween coming up. Yeah. I guess actually it just passed, didn't it? Dang it!
Although, well, I did have an idea that I think out of all of us here, Joey, you could pull it off.
Okay.
You got to be Free Guy for Halloween.
Oh, that's my Reynolds character, correct?
Yeah, just get a blue shirt.
Okay.
You've already got glasses.
Yeah.
I have a Captain America shield and a lightsaber.
Boom.
All you need.
I love it. I can do it.
Then you're just Free Guy.
I won't be as attractive as Ryan Reynolds, but, you know, a knockoff, which is kind of what it was all about.
That's what I was saying. Out of the three of us, if we're going with body type fails, I'm not going to be Free Guy.
I am tall.
You're tall. Next one, I know Sean disagrees with this and calls into the validity of the whole Toy Hall of Fame, Phase 10.
What is Phase 10?
Phase 10 is a card game.
Sure.
And
sure.
Phase 10 is a pack of cards.
It's a deck of cards where each phase, quote unquote, you have a criteria that you have to meet, a certain condition. Once you've met that, then you advance to the next one. My problem with it is that it takes 2 to 3 times as long as it really should for the depth of game that it is. It really should be like phase 5, and you just choose 5, and that's what you play to. It's so long.
It has not been well reviewed in the industry.
So why is it on the Toy Hall of Fame nominee?
Because they sell it at every checkout stand in every grocery store in every country.
Look,
and
I
a lot
it.
Of people know it. It's one of those like, hey, we know it. I don't know if like some people claim to like it, but I don't know.
It's like Tenzi.
Yeah.
Can we please put that on the packaging? Some people claim to like it.
We can just put stickers of that on the packaging.
Oh boy.
An odd protest hill to die on.
Right. So this is one of those honorable nominees. It always makes it onto the list, but it's probably not going to make it in.
I don't know. We've been surprised before. I believe Stick made it 1 year. I'm not sure.
Hey, you got to watch out for Stick.
Yep.
2x4, 3x6.
Another 80s callback.
Ooh.
The Pound Puppies.
Oh, man. This is nostalgia because I don't even remember what they are, but I remember the name.
It's a stuffed dog that you... pretend is real.
I don't know why in my head I was like, do most people pretend stuffed dogs are real? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's Pound Puppies. There was cartoons. Yep. There was, I mean, they just had a certain look to them. But
they were Bluey before Bluey was a thing.
Yes. Yeah, very much.
Yep.
My brothers believe that they were the first to the Bluey train. As weird as that sounds. Because they've had blue heelers their whole life.
Ah, of course. That train is long, by the way.
Bluey's a good show. Kids should be happy, but heelers are not great for kids. They will herd your children by nipping at their heels.
Oh, God.
They're cattle dogs.
Run. Run.
They do what's come natural to them, and that's you moving where they want you.
Yeah, that's fair. Very true.
Sorry, tangent. Next on the list that I closed on accident, Racco, the classic Rackham score card game.
Never heard of this game.
I have never heard of it either.
I've heard of the game, but I've never played it. No, it's a pattern-building game, essentially.
Well, Racco, you're not going to make it too long on our list, I'll tell you that much.
So this next one, I have heard of, I believe you've all heard of, and I bought it for my son last Christmas, and it still comes in this original, I think with the same pictures, packaging.
Wow.
The Spirograph.
What?
It's templates that you stick a pencil in and you go in circles and it makes different shapes.
Oh, yes. Okay, I do remember this. These were great because I sucked at drawing and it really helped.
Yeah, and you can make some cool
like
geometric shapes
really
and patterns, and it can be endless. They can sit there for hours. I like Spirograph. If a board game don't win, Spirograph should win right after Skeletor.
Okay, you had me at Skeletor, so I'll continue.
Now, this one you may have heard of. I believe BJ invented it when he was young.
In the Rage Nasium.
In the 12th century. The Top.
I think 11th century.
Since ancient times, the spinning top has been a childhood staple of cultures in Asia, Europe, the Americas, and Australia. This toy form has entertained adults, too. Ancient Greek pottery shows women playing with the toy.
Whoa.
It's oddly specific.
So we're giving a nod to history with this one.
I
spun a top or two in my time.
I mean, it's not completely wrong. There are some, like, modern toys that use, like, the spinny top kind of mechanics.
The Beyblade.
Yeah, Beyblade, that's one.
Annoying toy. So what do you take when you take metal and plastic that's designed to crash into each other and fall apart, and combine that with the loudest plastic vacuum molded arenas in history?
You create Josh's worst sleeping nightmare.
Yeah, just imagine you get home, long day at work, knowing the bad day. You sit in your chair, you're comfortable. Oh, light a fire. Okay, sit in the chair, comfortable. You're warm. Your dog comes over, lays by it. Oh, that's a good dog.
What a good doggo.
Petting your dog, you're starting to doze off. And then, this stupid noise from these, I'm sure, very fun toys that I love so much. I have been startled by Beyblades far too many times.
The noise itself triggers him.
It does. It would trigger
him. He spills his glass of wine all over his nice leather chair. The fire goes out. His dog starts barking. Josh Anderson's greatest nightmare.
I think Blumhouse could be onto something.
So you're saying this isn't going to make your Hall of Fame, though?
Not mine. It might make a lot of people's, but not mine. Those are the nominees. The winners will be announced November 10th. We will update you on who the Masters of the Universe winner is.
Yeah.
And I'm not biased at all. I think they all got a good, fair chance after Skeletor.
I agree. I think Skeletor should win.
I agree. Skeletor should win. I'm down for this.
We unanimously believe it will win. Let us know what you think is going to win, or one that has caused you nightmares in the past. Apparently, we have found out Beyblades are not Josh's best friend. BJ Geek Nation, or, you know, all our socials, BJ Geek Nation. Just search that. You'll find it. Let us know. Tell us if you love Skeletor as much as we do. But moving along, guys, I know this is going to shock our audience, but I've heard that you play board games.
Yeah, we do that.
And I hear that you don't stop playing board games, and you won't stop, and you can't stop.
We won't stop. We can't stop.
What board games have been on your table as of last week?
Well, yesterday we went over to Zulu's Board Game Cafe in Bothell, where they had a big sale. So, new game reviews coming up soon, because we bought stuff.
Yes. Now, when you say sale, are we talking the casual 10% or higher?
No, they had a huge 40 to 50% off sale, and this was not garbage game. There was no Tops, no Beyblades. There was AAA titles that they wanted to clear out.
40 to 50% off?
Just about every Halloween, they do a big fall
That's like
sale.
Giving you a like a candy, you know, a little taste, you know. They're like, have a little corner of this Reese's and maybe you'll like another one.
I got some I got my copy of Zolkin. I just need to change my parts out with Sean's copy. So I have a pre-painted one. I got Sierra West. John got a stack of games. We got all the Tiny Towns expansions. So yeah, lots of stuff.
There was a woman that showed up there. She bought a literal giant box of games. It was just like loading games in there. And she was saying that her collection wasn't that big. And she was like trying to like fill it out with more games. And I think it was Ethan that asked her, like, well, how big's your collection? She's like, oh, it's only 150 games.
So we invited her into our group.
Only 150. He's like, what is wrong with you?
Group
that's
now. Yeah, exactly.
I feel her pain. I mean,
I know, right?
Only. Got to have more than that.
Yeah, at least she was honest about it. She's like, yeah, my collection's not that big yet.
Anyways, after that, we wandered over to the Zulu's Event Center. A new thing at Zulu's. Go check it out. And we got to play a few games. Well, first, we got there, and Sean was setting up Stroganov.
Yes.
Food?
The Russian family name, Stroganov.
That's not the food.
It's not the food.
Not the Italian name, Stroganov.
Stroganov. Because I was going to say, I would have been excited if I saw Sean cooking at a board game convention. I'd be like, what is this man doing and what is he going to be eating?
Well, I do invite all listening to go ahead and get your junior high jokes in your head.
Okay.
Take a moment. We played a game called Stroganov. Take 10 seconds to yourself. Get your giggles out. And now we'll review the game.
We're back.
Yeah, so this is by Game Brewer. This is when I picked up. I ordered special at Zulu's and finally got a chance to play it. It's definitely on the heavier side, kind of a classic Euro style. So it's kind of worker placement-y. The idea is that you are members of the Stroganov family and you're trying to impress the Tsar. You want to impress the Tsar the most. The way you do that is you're going to be going out and adventuring through the land of Siberia. And you have these giant...
Always a joyful thing.
Of course. Isn't that a tundra? Siberia's a tundra, right? Yeah. A frozen tundra most of the time, if I
there's
remember
some
correctly.
Frozen areas. There's some, you know... It's a gorgeous game. A giant board, but then you place these tiles out that you're going to be going to. And when you go to these tiles, there's wildlife there that you can hunt. You hunt basically from the top down. And you're trying to get certain types of animals because those animals allow you to do trading and trying to claim those lands for yourself. So there's three different types of resources in the game. One is the furs that you get from hunting. Another resource is coins. And then a third resource is horses. And horses allow you to go farther. If you want to hunt at specific spots in a land, then you need horses there.
Interesting, Sean. I heard you didn't mention any war elephants.
No war elephants.
Are you sure it wasn't coins, fur, and
there's
elephants?
A bear.
I think we're going to have to set up a war elephant.
I know, right? We need to.
Wait, there's a bear?
There is a bear.
Bears are pretty good. I'll take them.
Somebody's going through withdrawals. There's a tiger.
Ooh, I did say
Shere
I like
Khan type tigers.
It's a Siberian tiger.
Okay, you got me back
okay,
in.
Non-Shere Khan type tiger. But still tigers.
So, like I said, what you use the furs for is like one land may require fox furs to be able to claim that location. And the number of furs that are required is equal to, if there's a bunch of animals there, it's going to require more furs. If all the animals have been cleared off, then it's fewer. The tigers that Josh mentioned, those are used as wilds. So it's kind of a worker placement-y, kind of set collection-y, resource management. There's a lot of stuff going on, but I was a little nervous at first when I learned the game, but it's fairly straightforward. I think you kind of pick it up after a couple of rounds, and then you're like, oh, okay.
It's a really good game. I'll definitely play it again. I had a graphic design knock just based on some icons they put somewhere that wasn't quite meshing with the rest of the game, but we figured that out fairly quickly. In other words, Sean told me to shut up and get over it.
Yes, that's the best way.
But the gameplay and understanding the rules, it was really good. It was fast. It really wasn't a long game.
Yeah. I think worker placement games, you pick up generally quicker than other games. And for whatever reason, that motion, people seem to really catch on once they do one or two actions. Like, oh, this is easy.
It's because humans like telling other humans what to do.
Ah, I see.
Go do that.
Are we onto something? Josh? Where's my war elephant?
I'm working on it.
So definitely check out Stroganov. It's a lot of fun. If you like that kind of meteor Euro style gameplay with a just gorgeous production, check this one out, Stroganov.
Josh, I hear you've been playing some games too.
Yeah, last week I told you I got in Blood of the Northmen. So we got to play Blood of the Northmen. That's by Carl Chudik and Zacha Games.
And this was off Kickstarter?
This was off Kickstarter, yes. We did not get to play the expansion yet because Carl Chudik games tend to be a little crunchy. And while this game sounds very simple, it can be very thinky. So you literally, on your turn, play a tile. Now, on that tile, there could be forests, roads, mountains, water, or open sides.
Ooh. There's no sun to walk into?
No.
Dang. Lucky for you, Sean.
This ain't Blood of the Spacemen, but... Although, idea. So in this game, you play a tile, and the first thing you look at, are there any cities on it? If you have other cities, you can gain benefit from that city. That's a little deeper into it. It's a little more optional play. Those can be very swingy, and they can actually win you the game in one turn if you do things right. There's a pelt city that can, you can be like, clear off all your points, count your cities, and then you get points. Because in this game, the first to 6 points wins the game.
6 points?
Only six.
That's no points.
You would think it would take very not long to play, but it took us, what, hour and a half, 2 hours?
Yeah.
So then you play your tile, and if you have any forests, edges on your hexagon tile, however many edges are forests, you get to recruit that many guys to that tile. Then you look at lakes, and for every lake you have on the edge, you get a lake action, which lets you move up to 3 guys anywhere on one tile on the board to an adjacent tile via an empty side, a road, or another lake. Now, if you choose to go across the lake, lakes, after these interconnecting tiles, lakes can get pretty big. Well, if you go across the lake with a lake action, you can go to the other bank, which could be 6 tiles away.
Interesting. Okay.
So it's a cool jump mechanic, but you're limited to 3 guys per lake action.
I thought you were going to say they were all going to drown because I played some Oregon Trail in my day. When you come to a river, things do not go well for your band of crew.
We didn't forget how to swim until the western push of American history. Then you look at roads, and roads are fun because you can move any number of guys starting on a road tile along the road, and as long as he's not interrupted by another warband, another player's color, or a mountain, or the end of the road, you can continue to move all the way on the road. You can even go off the edge of the map, and then you look clockwise or counterclockwise for the first road somewhere around the map and go to that tile, then you stop.
Ah, so the world is not flat, is what you're saying.
The world is not flat. And then mountains are how you trigger attacks, and attacks are handled very uniquely. If you're ever... I play a mountain. Oh, I have 2 mountains here. That means I got 2 attacks. I look at the entire board. If my guys are anywhere with anybody else's guy, and what we've come to learn in this game is don't spread out. Never go out alone.
Don't wander the jungle alone.
No, don't split the party. Stay together because Sean will attack all your lonely guys by themselves.
Well, AC, like a little guy off by himself, like, hey, I need to go visit my buddy Josh.
Yeah, he'll take Say 6 guys there, and I'll have one. Then he'll play a mountain. He'll initiate the attack. So he's got 6 guys there, so he's going to draw 6 tiles or play it from his hand. You get to choose. Actually, if he has 6 guys, he gets to play 7. If he initiates the combat, he gets an extra tile. By looking at those tiles, you're just looking for mountains. However many mountain sides, that's your strength.
That's a lot of tiles.
And when he keeps attacking the one guys, I draw 1 tile, and I'm like, yeah, I have 1 mountain on it, or most likely no mountains on it, and he draws the 5 mountain tile.
Oh.
On his first tile, and then draws his other 6, and ends up at 16, 17. You have no chance.
Why did you ambush that poor man?
Well, he seemed so lonely.
Yeah.
Could have invited him to your group.
Learning this game, it's don't go out alone. There's a lot of strategy. There's a lot of things we got to learn. We only played it the one time so far, and we have the expansion, which is going to bring in churches and boats and priests and all kinds
catapults.
Of stuff. So, yeah, catapults.
Oh, I know who likes catapults.
So we enjoyed it, and we're looking forward to playing it again. It is chunky, but
it really felt like a Carl like a Carl Chetta game. So like he did Innovation, Glory to Rome, Red 7. So his games are very much like once you hit a victory point condition, like the game immediately ends.
Yeah. Mm.
And there's a lot of like tightness in trying to get to that victory point condition.
Yeah, I was going to say with only six, it makes sense you have to do a lot of work to get to one of those points. I'm sure claiming one victory point is pretty impactful.
And well, part of the challenge is too, when you play a tile for most of the game, two edges must match.
Oh,
and that
okay.
can be hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have a workaround with these strongholds that you can end up playing, and they essentially became an open side for you and a mountain for anybody else. So it's a good way to block some people off. But if you play it on an illegal edge, which you can do, you're locking that soldier in, and you can't use him for scoring. So if you have all your all these strongholds out and no soldiers, you're never going
to
win.
We know what happens to the lone guy stuck on a tile. He don't make it through the winter.
He's not going to make it.
He does.
All right, Sean, what about one more game for you? Did you play? No, what am I even asking? Of course you played.
Of course I played a game. We played Cat in the Box with some friends over at Zulu's.
I've heard Cat in the Hat, but not in the box.
So think about the infinite number of cats in a box. You know, is the cat alive? Is the cat dead?
Schrodinger's cats. Thank you.
Yeah. That's kind of the concept a little bit. The game is essentially a trick-taking game, but it's very unique in how it plays. So all of your cards, and there are a number of, like, I think it's like 1 through 9 are the numbers. There's multiple copies of those numbers, but there's no colors on those numbers. Everyone's card is essentially colorless. So when you play a card, you have to specify what color it is. You say it right as you play it, like this is a green 5.
Oh.
When you do that, you have to place a token out on this board to block off the green 5. Now, no one can ever play a green 5, including you.
Interesting. Okay. And then
so the play space becomes tighter as the game goes on.
Mm.
So now, like, green 5. Okay, so now I have to play a number higher than a 5, and I have to mark it as a green. Okay, so I'm going to play, I've got a 7. Cool. I play that, and I'll say it's a green 7. Now I've marked off the green 7. So now green 7s will never appear in the game. If you ever get to a time where you can't legally play something, then you cause a paradox, and then nobody scores for the round. One of the other interesting things is there's a bit of bidding as well. So you have to bid for the number of points that you're going to win. Like, how many hands are you going to win in this round? Are you going to win 1, 2, or 3? There's no 0. You have to go in for something.
Okay.
And if you don't get it, then you lose those amount of points. So it's really, really tough. Like, maybe I'll get 2. I want to lose this. So I'm going to play something offsuit. There's a trump suit, which is red. Every red play is always going to win this trump based on the number. It's definitely a lot thinkier than your typical trick-taking game. And that blocking off of numbers is really interesting. You can actually get bonus points if you link together orthogonally your blocking placements. So let's say I've blocked off the green 5, 6, and 7. Well, I'm going to get points for those together.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you're encouraged to try and do that and try and, well, I really want to play this number, even though it's not that great, because it's going to help me score these linking bonuses as well. So there's a lot more to it than, one might think at first blush. It's a really, really cool game. Plays fast, plays up to 5 players, and you just kind of adjust the board based on the player count.
I've got a hard-hitting question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any cats in the game?
Yes. Each card in the game has a cat.
Ah!
To me, a creepy-looking cat.
Yes. All the cats are like kind of floating this sort of like spacey realm.
Like hidden within a box.
Yes.
Oh, spooky.
It's cute art, but also kind of creepy art as well.
Yeah.
Kind of rides this weird balance of creepy and cute. It's by Bezier Games, who did One Night Werewolf, so, very kind of well-known publisher. Cat in the Box.
Awesome. And lastly, Josh, I hear you have one more game for us. Well, you have one more game, and we have one more special game.
Yes. So we got to play Planet Unknown.
It's a space game?
It is a space game.
But
it doesn't need to be.
Ooh, okay.
Do you like Tetris?
Of course.
Do you like Lazy Susans?
Yes.
Do you like always taking a turn, even when it's not your turn?
I love taking actions.
All right, then you love this game. Moving on.
Boom, I'm in. All right, next game. So Planet Unknown 2.
So in Planet Unknown, designed by Ryan Lambert and Adam Rayburg, published by Adams Apple Games, LLC.
LLC.
We just got this from Ethan. Thank you, Ethan, at Zulus.
Yeah.
So like I said, there's a Lazy Susan, and you get this planet. And your particular planet, if you play the asymmetrical side, might have some conditions, cards you can or cannot play, bonuses you do or don't get. And this will play 1 to 6 players. You get to spin the Lazy Susan, and in the Lazy Susan is every Tetris shape you can think of. You spin it to the actions you want to take, which basically there will be two, a big and a small piece in front of you. You get to make your choice, pick whichever side you want. But that also locks everybody else in on what they're looking at in front of them. And then you're just laying these tiles trying to fill up the planet.
Okay.
But then you also throw in a tech tree. And based on the tiles that you place, you get to move up these tracks and get bonuses and abilities and powers and special scoring conditions and
combos and
lots of combos where this track lets you move up this track, which lets you move up another track. So you move up another track. Hey, that one's got a trigger that lets you move back up on the other track.
And you get a bonus when you go to here. And
so what you're saying is I pick on my turn the piece I want, say it would be the square piece. Mm-hmm. And then that'll lock every other player who might get a long piece or a weird-looking piece or a plus sign. Ah!
And not just the shape, what's printed on them, too. Like, I can really use the sieve pieces, which is black in the game. I want, but it gets spun to me, and all I got is red and green and blue.
Oh, that's actually pretty cool. I like that.
I don't want those. I'll put them somewhere, but I don't want them. And when you're trying to fill up your planet, you're going to score based on completed columns all the way across your planet. And if there's a meteor anywhere in that, doesn't score.
Damn meteors.
Columns and rows.
And rows. And if even one square is not filled in, it's not going to score.
Just like the dinosaurs. They don't like meteors.
But yeah, we play with the events, which are just cool, interesting before the round starts. Something, everybody has to do something. You got private objectives, public objectives. You got neighbor objectives. That's pretty cool. So if we're playing a three-player game, there's an objective only me and Sean are fighting over, an objective only you and Sean are fighting over, and then an objective only me and you are fighting over.
Oh, man, there's a lot of playability to this.
So it's all about the neighbors. And then a game that plays 6 players in this amount of time is great. This is not there can be some thinking, but you go ahead, think. I'm going to play my board because I get to play too. So it's not really a follow mechanic. It's just a simultaneous play, really.
Yeah.
That's really unique.
The Lazy Susan looks really nice. Like it's, think of it like kind of like a donut, right? It's got this plastic piece, molded plastic piece, and inside it kind of gives it this sort of like world look to it. And all of the Tetris-y pieces sit within it. So you're literally pulling them up and out of this encapsulated Lazy Susan.
And the small piece is your second choice. It's in an inner tray in the middle. And before the game starts, you can spin that around separately. So the variability changes.
Huh, man. I like the sound of this game. And, of course, as you already mentioned, I liked all the components.
We were playing. We were like, me, Sean, our buddy Aaron, we're all like, yeah, this is good. Yeah, 3 more turns. I'm going to get this. We're all just kind of lost in our own game. And my nephew Steven's like, oh, I can't play any pieces. You guys should have played somewhere else. It's like, wait, you didn't tell anybody? No, why? So, because the game's over. If someone can't play, the game's over.
Oh, no. So
he effectively screwed us out of getting more turns. He beat me by 2 points.
Yeah, I lost horribly. I scored my rows, but I did not score any columns. I didn't have any columns completed. So I was kind of working from the bottom up, and I lost like half the points I could have had.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
The middle rows and columns are worth the most points because they're the longest. But the outer edge stuff, that's not. And initially, you must play next to a tile you already played. You can't just free willy blow it out there unless you get a tech a tech that lets you do that kind of stuff. But a really good game. I recommend this one a lot. I'll be showing your dad because space, sci-fi.
He's not a spatial person, but I do like about this kind of idea.
No, that part's going to – I get my entertainment out of him not being a spatial person.
Ah, so what you're saying is the rage will be induced.
Yes, and probably egged on.
Well, you know. You got to do that, though. Moving along, we do have a new game from Simon Games that I hear you guys want to talk about that might have a little something to do with the studios we actually record in, because we record in a Rock-based studio here at The Rock, KISW 99.9.
Well, when I saw this going through the news, I thought about you and Vicky and where your day jobs are.
That's right.
You guys do work at 99.9, The Rock of Seattle.
Morning radio.
And Iron Maiden is putting out their own board game.
If people want this, you know what they're going to have to do? They're going to have to run to the hills.
Hey! Did you see what he did there? wait. Cha-cha-cha! why don't you guys tell us a little about this? I mean, I did not know Iron Maiden could make a board game.
Well, it's basically essentially based on, the character on every Iron Maiden album?
Eddie. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So... I don't know how to play this game. It's a zombicide game, so it's going to play like every other zombicide game. But the cool part is the characters are going to be compatible with Cthulhu Death May Die, the other zombicide games, Massive Darkness, Massive Darkness 2, Rising Sun, Ankh. They're somehow every other big box game from Simon or Come On or Cool Mini or Not or whatever they're calling them, the artist formerly known as Simon, whatever they're calling themselves this week, they're just kind of, they got this IP. I don't know how it will play itself other than like very zombicide, but the fact that they're spreading it, like, you know what? We're going to make this compatible with every other game we have. I'm fine with that.
That's awesome.
That just makes it great.
You had me at Cthulhu.
You need to play Death May Die. Mine none destroyed.
Ooh. Man, I got a lot of big list of games to play now.
I want to see this in Rising Sun. I love Rising Sun.
Yeah, so I don't know. How is this going to... What are you going to do in Rising Sun?
I'm guessing that you're...
You automatically win the negotiations?
Well, I'm guessing they're like the monsters that you... Like, you would get a special card. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Maybe monsters. That'd be cool.
It's going to be interesting to see how this game fits in with all the pieces to the other games to the pieces. Do you get to play Rock Music all the time?
They've got all the versions of Eddie, right? So they've got like the space Eddie. They've got the one that's coming out of the grave, bursting up out of his grave. The one that's back in Egypt, sitting on his Egyptian throne. They've got the Eddie with the UK soldier version. Like it looks
sounds like
the
production's
cool.
There for sure.
Oh yeah.
So there's
yeah.
going to be three character packs. Crossover into all those games I mentioned. They're going to $66 for all three.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
And being how it expands so many games, that's well worth the price.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what this looks like when it comes out. Of course, thank you once again for joining us on a jam-packed episode of BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Join us next week as we play Super Fight.
Super Fight.
I will take down Josh and Sean or die trying. Probably the latter.
So unless you're playing Super Fight, play nice.